This morning, we are beginning the month of prayer, and you might have noticed that where you're sitting, there is this pamphlet. I wanted just to read the 1st of March. I want to start there. Thank the Lord for the month of prayer, and that we have an incredible gift of prayer to communicate with you. And there is the Lord's Prayer. I thought when I was praying for the offering, I will do the Lord's Prayer without looking at it. But I just encourage you to go back to that Lord's Prayer. Some of us have memorized it, but it's found in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. And I will let you do the rest. This morning, I want to talk about something very common, and that is the privilege that we have to communicate with God. God has given us His Word through the Bible, but also He's given us the platform for us to communicate with Him. It's not WhatsApp, it's not via Facebook, it's not via Instagram. Some of us are using ChatGPT. I did ask ChatGPT, what is prayer? There's a whole crazy stuff coming up there. I'm not preaching what I've got from ChatGPT. I've prepared myself by reading the Bible. And I encourage all of you this morning that as we begin the month of prayer, we prepare ourselves by reading His Word. Because it's a two-way communication. God has given us this privilege to hear Him and also to speak to Him. Pastor Brian started this series. I don't know if I might call them series, but it's the truth about. So he has spoken the truth about God. My brethren, Peter Benson, spoke about the truth about Jesus. He spoke the truth about salvation. Last week, he was talking about the truth about eternal life. I might have to remind you that I was the first person to preach this year on the 4th of January. Two coincidences. I was wearing exactly the same clothes on the 4th of January, and I didn't even notice. The second coincidence is that January the 4th, or the first Sunday of this year, today is the 1st of March, and this is the beginning of the prayer month. God is saying something. But I did speak about renewing our minds on the 4th of January. And the truth that Pastor Brian and Peter Benson have been talking about, it will help us to get to that place where our mind is completely renewed. As I said, it's not a one-day thing to renew your mind. It's going to take the whole year. And if you notice, we've got this slogan. I don't know if I might call it slogan or the tag or the hashtag for the younger people. But this is what we're going for this year. I must confess, Ross, all this time as I was preparing, I was saying, truth first, Jesus always. That was hectic. But it says Jesus first, and then truth always. Because Jesus is the truth. And what is the truth about prayer? Well, we all can pray. There are three things that will make us understand the truth about prayer. It's the first thing is that God Himself wants us to pray. He's inviting us to speak to Him. So you're not talking to this person that doesn't want us to talk to. You might confirm and confess here that some of you get tired of people talking to you. So you hear things like, just send me a WhatsApp. Oh, just send me an email. Or we'll talk later, I'm busy. But this is God who is inviting us. As we look in the first scripture here, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, it says, "And if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn," okay, let's do that out there, "and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." This is God. So when you pray, the first truth you should know, you are not just forcing the conversation. He's inviting us. Notice the usage of the word, "if my people," and he's even defining who are called by my name. This is Old Testament. But when we started following Christ, who are we known as? Christians. His people, called by his name. If we humble ourselves and pray, all our troubles, our challenges, he's promising to sort it out for us. And then the other truth is that Jesus also wants us to pray. Jesus prayed a whole lot of times. He would sneak out to pray. He would pray with his disciples. He would pray in front of people. But Jesus demonstrated the very importance of talking to our Father. And he has given us the keyword to reaching out to the Father. He says it in John 14, verse 6. It says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Father says, if you reach out, I'll heal your land. Jesus gives us an understanding of how simple it is, accepting him and praying through him. The other thing that confirms the truth about prayer is that the disciples themselves, before they started their mission, before they started going out and preaching, they gathered and fellowshipped. We see this in Acts 2, verse 42. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." God, Jesus, disciples. Where are we falling into? The disciples. This Jesus' first truth always is our aim as a church, to leave the discipleship that Christ himself commanded us to do, to go out there, preach the gospel, be of salt and light. Jesus demonstrated that prayer is important in our lives. The disciples could not do anything without prayer. But I must confess, any relationship has got its own troubles. And as our Christian life also, we are God's children. But we struggle sometimes to pray because we don't have words sometimes. Because we get so drained and so tired and like, I want to pray, but I don't know what to say. So when I preach, the other coincidence is that last year, I preached during the month of prayer. Lots of coincidences. But then last year, I was talking about the Lord's Prayer, which is found in today's first March month of prayer guide. Our Father, who is in heaven. So I want us to get into a place of prayer this month by looking at what should we pray? How should we pray? What should we include? And I found this in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is said to be 32 seconds long, but it's so powerful and it includes every single aspect that we need when we pray. The first thing that we need to consider when we pray is, do not, And this is coming from me. Do not grandstand or chase clout. Now, that's quite heavy, right? I looked at grandstanding as what is brought out in Matthew 6, verse 5, right? We are warned of grandstanding when we pray, when Jesus himself says, and when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When we pray, we petition God, right? We request things from God. And when we look at the word prayer, the original text from Latin, it says prex, which is P-R-E-X, which means request, petition, or it says entreaty, which is humble request. Now, if you want to talk to God for your grievances and you grandstand, you want to draw attention to yourself, God says that attention-seeking attitude, you're already being rewarded. So this is just a warning from Jesus when you pray. And I wanted for the Janeses, I do have a couple, I don't know where my boys at, but the word chasing clout is a lingo for the younger people, right? I've put a definition there, but I've got another way of looking at it here. It's a slang term describing the desperate pursuit of fame, influence, or social media validation. It often involves leveraging controversy, associating with popular figures, or acting in extreme ways to gain attention, frequently at the expense of authenticity or personal integrity. I think that one defines better in terms of how we should pray. Another way of looking at chasing clout during prayer is that we should not, one, manipulate God when we pray. We should not emotionally blackmail God when we pray. God is all-knowing. When we present our grievances to God, he already knows our heart. And if our heart is not in good place with him, then he's not going to hear our prayers. So I want us to look at this. What to include in our prayers in relation to the Lord's modeling of the prayer. And before that, I wanted to look also on a chasing clout in Galatians 1, verse 10, where Paul says, am I now trying to win approval of human beings or God? That's the first question when we pray. Am I trying to win the approval of people or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. So as we pray, communicating to God, as we dedicate ourselves to prayer this month, let us understand these two things, grandstanding and chasing clout, one cut it. I mean, I say it boldly. It won't work. We have to be able to communicate with God as our Father. Most of you have had kids, people that come seeking for help. If they come trying to use you, and you know they want to use you, I don't think we'll help them. People should humble themselves seeking Lord's help. So let us include these things in our prayer this month. The first one is reverence. Reverence. Hallowed be thy name. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. That's the utmost respect for God. That's the first thing. Fearing of the Lord. When we look at Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Kneeling. I was thinking about the women in other parts of African countries where when they want to give food to their husbands, they kneel down. It's respect. Most of the African fellas, I will use that word, forgive me, but most of the African men, they want respect from their wives. They demand it. And one of the signs is kneeling down and say, Baba, now go hold. But we have our own father that we need to respect. And we show that during prayer, when we communicate with him. Jesus himself, in the modeling of this prayer, he says, say, hallowed be thy name. It doesn't begin there. It says, our Father who art in heaven. Reverence is important when we pray. The psalmist also writes in Psalms 111, verse 9, it says, he provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Hoary and awesome is his name, Jehovah. The second thing we need to consider is loyalty. Loyalty. Jesus says, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's complete loyalty. Acknowledging that he is king and he's got his kingdom and we are part of that kingdom. So loyalty is important when you pray. As we see in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you pray for, they will be given to you as well. First is the kingdom, and then what you want. That's why when you pray, number three, I would say, include that you depend on God. I was lucky this morning that my brethren Eric prayed for me, and the first thing he said, do you want to know the definition of prayer? And he brought out the issue of dependency. He said it's our declaration to say we depend on God. In Eric's words, he says, we were created by God. So when you pray, you're praying to the Father who's got it all. You depend on him. You're not going to God and say, hey, God, I've been making a plan to start a business, and this is my plan. You seek first his wisdom. Before you make plans, you depend on him in your life. And we see this as Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Notice the uses of the word daily. It doesn't say give us bread for the whole year. Then we're not going to depend on him for the rest of the year. But it's daily. We need to seek him. We need to depend on him daily. And Jesus also gives us a clue what this bread is. It says, I am the bread. That Jesus says, I am the bread. We're seeking God to say we need Jesus. Jesus first, right? I'm getting it right. Jesus first. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. You understand the prayer is in Matthew's. And this is what Proverbs in Old Testament says about depending on God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And also one thing to consider when we pray is forgiveness. One thing that we carry as human beings is baggage. Baggage of resentment and forgiveness. Let us consider praying for forgiveness this month of prayer. It might not be you who needs forgiveness, but there's a whole lot of people seeking forgiveness. Let us pray for forgiveness. And we see this as Jesus brings out in this model prayer when he says, you should also say, and forgive us our trespasses. But not just there, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness. Acts 10, verse 43 brings out this scripture. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And Colossians 1, verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. In whom? Jesus Christ. In whom we have forgiveness. Our Jehovah, our Father. When we pray, let's consider this as well. And the fifth one, which must be the last one, I must say I was trying to beat the time that Pastor Brian set last week. I might have failed a little bit because he finished around 10 to 10. Sorry. I'm James White and I'm black. The black side can take over. Trust is the last thing that we need to consider. And this is the big one for me. To trust, to put all our life in his hands and say, God, you are the one who knows me. What Eric told me this morning, to depend, to say, you created, I trust you. I don't have to fix it myself. But I seek your wisdom. And when we talk about trust, we see that towards the end of the prayer. And I was looking at this prayer on the prayer guide that it doesn't have this one. But I'll finish it off. It says, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. It's trusting in him. The one who created us and the one who is God at all, who knows every single thing. We trust him. Jeremiah brings out this in verse 17, 7 to 10. It says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of droughts and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, that's God now. The Lord search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct and according to what their deeds deserve. Trusting in him that search each one of us, our hearts, and reward us according to our deeds. The psalmist also writes in Psalm 1, verse 12, Psalm 112, verse 7, it says, they will have no fear of bad news, those who trust in God. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Can you position yourself in this place where you have no fear of bad news? How many of us are so much afraid of bad news? I know people that are scared of driving. I'm not talking about those that do not know how to drive. The people that know how to drive, they've been driving for a long time, they are scared. Why? They are scared of bad news. There's bad news on the road. I stopped watching the news now because I'm not scared. But there's always negativity, bad news. Bad news makes depressed, right? The press is like, we need the bad news. But as Christians, as the ones who trust God, we have no fear at all because our hearts are steadfast, right, in trusting in him. And Romans 10 verse 10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think we did do this verse, but I want us to trust in God this month of prayer. I want you to actually go through this because it's got all the days, Sunday, Monday, it's like a calendar for you. So if you run out of words to speak to God, just read what is here, right? Literally. But let us encourage each other this month, right? Let us pray, right? Jesus, the Bible, the prophets have encouraged to pray without ceasing. And we are not doing the month of prayer because this is the only month as a church we pray. You might not be aware, but this church has got what I call the secret service of the church. And it's got secret agents. Don't be scared. It's called a prayer group, right? A prayer group. And maybe some of you don't know about it, but it's the most active church ministry that I have been involved in. Because every single day you find someone seeking prayer. And when we talk about the truth about prayer is that reaching out to God at the time when you don't have a solution. And our secret service in the church, I'm calling it a secret service because it's confidential. If you are going to tell someone in the prayer group that you need prayer, we're not going to air it out in our top group, right? So I want to encourage you, as we pray this month, that we also make use of prayer warriors in the church. They are prayer warriors. You see that when we even worship here, people like Ingrid, I'm going to drop your name, you can see these are prayer warriors. Right? And how it works with our secret service, the prayer group, is that there is one person that leads the prayer group the whole month, from the 1st to the 31st. And you need to find out that information in our booklet. Jed knows. But the fact is, there is one person that leads. And I'm saying this deliberately because we cannot have communication with God if you're not serious about the relationship with God. It starts with a relationship, and then we communicate. And if you have a relationship with God, calling ourselves Christians, but then we don't communicate, I've learned it the hard way that a relationship without communication is as good as dead. So I want to leave you there this morning, that let us continue diligently. There is a word called fervently, praying with zeal and eager and power, knowing that God himself has got our back. And the truth about prayer is that we can all pray, because praying is communicating with God.